Blog Talk Radio.
This is Fernando on the Fernando Poniente Show. It's 9 o'clock, Monday, June 29th, here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin goes middle of nowhere. No, not actually. It's not in the middle of nowhere. Well, in the middle of Wisconsin, but, you know, not in the middle of nowhere. This place there where I want to be. Today's show, it's going to be a good show. Yeah, I'm going to be talking about some weird stuff here. And talking about some political stuff, if you want to talk about that. You can always call me, 347-884-8125. If you want to hang out in the chat room, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/TheFernandoPoniente Show. Whichever you want to do, you want to participate, just press 1, okay? When you call in, you got to press 1. Otherwise, I'm not going to pick you up, or I won't be able to pick you up. But that's my policy. First off, we're going to be talking about this. Hey, be quiet, man. Jeez. There we go. Turn that down. Hey, there's some dog barking. Dog barking over there. I don't know where that's coming from. I swear, I do not know where it's coming from. But the show will go on, though. The show will go on because it's just, you know, it's just a dog barking in the background. Okay. First of all, I want to talk about. Ooh, today is a good day for Americans. It's also a good day for Iraqis, Iraq, you know. Today they actually, they're taking a form of control of Baghdad. And, so the Iraqi forces assumed, the formal control of Baghdad and other cities Tuesday after American troops handed over security in urban areas, and in a defining step forward, ending the U.S. combat role in the country. So this is, you know, this is Obama's, or President Obama's, this is what he was talking about, pulling out people or troops out of Iraq. I don't think it's going to be all of them, though. You know, I think it's just going to be, like, it's, you know, downsized troops, but, you know, with this going on with Iran, and we're still fighting Afghanistan. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to let some steam out of my chest, because I was reading through this, you know, the senior advisors over there in Iraq, you know, the army over there, saying that the withdrawal of American troops is completed now for all cities after everything they sacrificed for the sake of security. That's it, Sabiq. Said Sadiq al-Rikabi, a senior advisor of Prime Minister Prime Minister Noriki al-Maliki. And he went on, "We are now celebrating the restoration of sovereignty." Okay. It's cool. That's all cool and all. You know, you can see that on the TV, probably on CNN or Fox News and all that. You got drums and everything, you know, fireworks and stuff like that. Well, you know, Pentagon did not offer anything comment. Or a mark passing of the deadline. It's just, you know, today was, you know, they mark it today the, you know, the formal day to control Baghdad. But anyway, well, we know, and, you know, citizens of Iraq saying that, quote, all of us are happy Sheikh Sunais encouraged on this day. This guy named Walid al-Bahdili, that's what he said. He said, "I'm happy now," so he celebrated in the park. But he continued and said, "The Americans harmed and insulted us too much." Well, thank you. Well, yeah. You know, those American troops, you know, all they did is just insulted you, the Iraqis. Yeah, whatever. Or, I don't know, where's this guy? I guess it's, I don't understand. I just don't understand what this guy's you know, maybe they're full of hatred if they don't see what kind of sacrifice and and work and job that the troops, American troops, did in Iraq. Let's get the co-host here, 3797. Do you agree? I mean, do you think Iraqis and all that is just nothing but terrorists over there in Iraq, and nothing but insulting and harm Iraqis? Is that what they did over there? Well, according to Jackson, Martha, and John Kerry, that's what the troops did. But that's a different story. But do you agree with that, Don?
So, John Kerry?
Remember that John Kerry saying that, I guess when he was, this is in the report, a couple of years. Yeah, and also then he said something that, troops, they go out and they go in the middle of the night and terrorize kids or something like that. I'm misquoting. I think Senator Martha did say that. But, they're both Democrat and they both, believe the same thing. But anyway, so today was apparently is the formal day that they're celebrating so-called independence, from...
Oh, Iraqis.
Iraqis, yeah. They're beating drums and fireworks and all that, but... But I guess, some other people, they have mixed feelings. I understand that, not all of them feel the same way. Like this guy saying that, all the American troops did to Iraqis, nothing but, all they did was terrorize them or, harm them and insult them and stuff like that. But, I can guarantee you that, maybe, I hope, 5 out of 10, maybe it would say, good things about America or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a dog barking in the background. Where's that dog at? Oh, I think I just like. I think this is the post or the whatever they're doing. But anyway, see, I didn't make sense there. So enough of that. If you want to comment on that, again, you can go to or dial. 347-884-8125. We have a good lineup today. We're going to be talking about we talked about the Iraqis, the so-called celebration of today. Also, Billy Mays, the OxyClean, the boom, the kaboom, the OxyClean. He died too.
Ow.
Right. And then we're going to be talking about, there's, parents won't say if a toddler is a boy or girl. So in Sweden, there's a couple that's like making a decision, or they're not going to tell media or anyone if the boy is a girl. It's like this is like you know the movie Pat. It's Pat. Like on Saturday Night Live back in the day. I think it's going to be like this that the parents would not reveal that to the public if the toddler is a boy or girl. It doesn't. I don't know what to talk about. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. And also, we're going to be talking about a couple is actually accused of assault using Cheetos, my friend. And this happened in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And authorities said that a couple has got into a fight using Cheetos. So we are going to be talking about that also. And later on, Derek Ramirez, hopefully. Will be here to join us to talk about his latest gig called La Rue Station Summerfest. Okay, it's going to be in Wisconsin here somewhere, but he'll fill us in and where you can get tickets and where who's going to be in there. And also we'll talk about his band, the Soapbox Project, and we'll talk about it. We'll catch up with them on his details, but. All right, but in the meantime, I'm going to go and play and take a break in a little bit here and play a song for you guys. So if you want to hang out or, call us, 347-884-8125, that would be great. But I think I have one right here, right now. So I'm going to go ahead and then play this real quick. You guys need to hang out. Callers need hang on real quick, okay? I'm going to play Why by the Soapbox Project, and after that I'll pick up the callers, and hopefully this is a Derek. So hold on a second. This is Why from Soapbox Project.
I was chilling at this club and I was looking for some love, and when you came by my way, so I approached and called your name, and then you did the same and told me that your favorite song was playing. So I looked into the floor, the way you moved me my more, that's all I really had to say. Now the drinks we had were more, and now we're heading out the door, and now we're moving back towards your place. And it turns out you're living on the east side, and it turns out I was going that way. It turns out you notice what you're doing, and you do it to me every time you pass on the way.
That was actually the Soapbox Project. So we're gonna go in and go into the lines real quick. It is 9:15, and if you have time to again join us here in the Fernando Pony show, you can call 347-884-8125. Once again, you can join in the chat room by going to blocktalkradio.com/thefernandoponiente show. Once again, this show is brought to you by shopinsuperhighway.com. Shopinsuperhighway.com. Let's pick up some of the callers over here. And 3338, is that you, Derek?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's going on? What's new?
Not too much. I actually was just driving back from the LaRue station. I went out there to go over some schematics with the owner.
Oh, I see that. So LaRue station, is this located in like 20 miles from here, right?
Yeah, it's just south of southwest of Wisconsin Dells, about 20 miles. You go take Highway 12 from the interstate in Lake Delton there down to Walmart and Baraboo. Basically, take a right, follow that road all the way out till it comes to an end, and then take a left, and you'll go right to the LaRue station.
Right there. Now, do you you have a website that people can go in there, and maybe they can just look it up in the map?
Yeah, well, you can go to thesoapboxproject.com, which I believe there's already a link on your site, but that has the actual address, so people can map quest it from the address information, or there's on the actual poster that's posted on that, it has a MapQuest picture grab, basically.
Okay. Or a cool gadget called GPS locator, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And we're going to be going out. I was just talking with the guy, and some of the, like the production sound company and stuff, and some other people that are going to be helping out, volunteering to work for the event, are going to be out on Thursday, and we're going to be picking a few spots to put some directional signs up for people to help, you know, ease the flow, I guess.
Right, yeah, that would work. Cause some people, you know, they have, you know, we have internet now. They can look it up and stuff, you know, like on Google Maps or whatnot, or, you know, sometimes
it comes up listed as North Freedom, and sometimes it's listed as LaRue on MapQuest and Google Maps and stuff. So it's kind of weird, but the interesting thing is it's such a small place. It's like basically the only thing in this town, you know. But that's what makes it so awesome, you know. It used to be an old train station. It was like the one stop train station, hotel, restaurant, bar, brothel, you know, back in the day. So.
So tell me more about this. Yeah, so how did this LaRue Station Summerfest came about? I mean, when did it start?
Well, what happened was the guy, Mike, who owns the place, he just bought the place not too long ago, took it over a few years back. And he's been kind of wanting to do something, but he's been trying to establish and get the business running and kind of get the feel for, you know, what's up. He had some partners involved with it that he ended up buying out, so he started taking over areas of the business that he didn't really think he was going to be handling. So he spent a little time getting that all worked out and you know, making sure he knew what he wanted to do with there and have everything going. And then he started having bands. They had bands there a long time ago from the previous owners, and they have a lot of people that they get a lot of traffic. And he decided he wanted to do something. He talked to me about having my band come play because he'd heard some reviews from us or whatever. And from there, we started talking about how my previous band, most of the guys in the Soapbox Project were in a band called Hooch that we had, and we toured all over the country for several years. We did a lot of festivals, huge, huge festivals like Summerfest and 10,000 Lakes Festival and, you know, a lot of big shows like that. So we started talking about that type of thing, and he's like, it must be great. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you know, you could really do something like that out here. You have land. And that's kind of was all of a sudden light bulbs started flashing, and, you know, we started thinking about it. And he's like, well, maybe we can throw something on, you know. So,
looked at all
the dates, and that's the one that worked out for us.
That's really, because July 3rd, I think there was also Summerfest going on in Milwaukee area there.
Yeah, there was some confusion about that, and people are like, oh, you're playing Summerfest. It's like, no, it's the LaRue Station Summerfest. It's totally different.
Yeah, totally different. Because I know that I interviewed a band a couple weeks ago called Into Arcadia from Milwaukee, and I just got an email from them that said, you know, they're going to be at Summerfest. I was like, what? You know? I said, what do you mean Summerfest? You're going to be here? And they're like, no, they're at Summerfest in Milwaukee. And I'm like, oh, okay, so it's a totally different thing. Now, Talk about you know, the bands that's going to be in this LaRue Station Summerfest.
Well, we have my band, the Soapbox Project, which is made up of, like I said, basically the entire Hooch band with a different bass player. Hooch's bass player moved to California. He was also he sang a couple of the songs. So Hooch was actually supposed to play it. We were doing a tour this summer, and ended up our bass player couldn't get away and get out here, so we decided just to do the rest of the shows as a Soapbox Project. It's basically the same band. I was the main songwriter, and, you know, so we still have, it's such a similar sound.
Right.
You know, we're capable of playing all that stuff, and we wrote all that stuff you know, so we're doing some of that stuff as well as the newer stuff. The Soapbox Project is basically the stuff I've been writing the last few years. Mm-hmm. But then we have a band called Tug, which a couple of the members of my band are also members of that band. It's called the Underground Groovement. Tug, they're from La Crosse. Great band. They play kind of like a reggae sublime type band. They do a lot of festivals and stuff, and you know, we've just played so many shows with them and been friends with them. We've had band members intermingling and playing in their band and whatnot. Mike Droho and the Compass Rose. Mike's an old friend of mine from growing up in Baraboo, and he actually just won Triple M's Project M songwriting contest last week. So he's kind of riding the wave on that right now. But he's got a lot of great songs, built a great following. He was with a band called The Prophets for a long time, and they made quite a name for themselves. Who else? We got Nick Shattuck, who's a great up-and-coming singer-songwriter from La Crosse area. He's actually playing at the Kickapoo County Fair, opening for Brett Denon. So that's real exciting. He actually turned me on to Brett Denon years ago, and then I had the opportunity to meet the band not too long ago this past winter. So that was neat. We have Daniel and the Lion, which is a great group from Madison. Jimmy Linville, the main songwriter, is actually a Baraboo native also. And I just kind of came across some of their stuff and really liked it, and I contacted him and asked them. They were down with coming back in the area and doing some shows, so that's cool.
Sweet.
We have Shondell Marks, who's a great singer-songwriter from Baraboo area. She performed like the Alvin Theater and all sorts of various places. Aaron Blacker, who is one of the front men from the band No Boundaries, he'll be.
I've heard of him. Yep.
He's doing acoustic solo set, which is. I think my guitar player Corey Menard is going to play that set with him too. I'm not sure, but. Really great songs that he's been writing that are so far removed from the No Boundaries sound that it's going to be great. Kind of launchpad for his solo writing.
Aaron Blacker?
Aaron Blacker.
Okay, Sam Osborne, would it be?
Sam Osborne, yep. I met him when I was playing at the Showboat in Wisconsin Dells. I had a house gig there, and Sam was our favorite bartender, and turns out he's a singer-songwriter as well, and he got up and jammed with us a few times, and I had him come and do a couple gigs with me a few other places, and this opportunity came up, and I was like, this is a great opportunity for Sam. He doesn't really go out and seek out gigs, but he's very talented, so I think it's a great, great way for people to kind of get to experience him.
Looks like you got a good lineup over here. Now, this is not the first time that you're setting up a LaRue Station Summerfest, this is your first time setting this up.
This is the very first year.
Oh, okay, this is the very first year. I mean, it looks like it's going to turn out pretty good. I know that people talking about that on YouTube, not YouTube, but Facebook and MySpace and all that. Now, where did the listeners can get the tickets?
Well, we had tickets online, and I think we were going to stop the online pre-sale of $15, which includes people are allowed to camp out there if they have a ticket purchased.
Oh, wow.
Well, basically, you have to have a ticket to be on the grounds, and then free camping is involved part of it. But it's only $15 with the on-sale price with, two stages, 12 acts, big outdoor, venue and stuff, so it's great. And that's at thesoapboxproject.com where you can buy those tickets. And like I said, we were going to stop the pre-sale last Saturday, but the way the program was set up, it actually runs through the 30th. So there's still pre-sale tickets available online for $15 through tomorrow night, and then after that you can only get them at the gate. So a lot of the artists actually have them too. So if there's somebody that you're a fan of, part of the band's payments are they have tickets to sell, and they keep the money. So if you see somebody that if you want to get tickets, but you know somebody that's playing there, or you're supportive of one of the bands, you should contact that band through their own MySpace or Facebook pages or by any means, before they have to go to their shows or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they can set you up with tickets as well.
Otherwise,
you can go out to LaRue and pick them up there.
Right.
And it'll be $20 at the gate.
Right, soapboxproject.com, they can always go there, right?
Yep. And one thing, too, that I think there was some confusion about was some people, it kind of makes it look like you have to have a PayPal account, but you don't actually have to sign up for an account. You can just buy it with your credit card.
oh, I see that. So it just takes credit card, or I mean, it, you know, or PayPal.
Or PayPal, obviously, yeah.
Right. Okay. So that's 12 acts, two stages in LaRue Station Summerfest on Friday, July 3rd. Now let's talk about your band. I know you mentioned, you touched up on that, that you guys used to be called Hooch, and I know I'm familiar with that. I've been in Wisconsin though for 11 years now. You know, really familiar with that, with you know, the band Hooch and now the Soapbox Project. Now, if you guys are, you know, you guys are doing the same thing, that would be, you know, pretty much the same listening, you know, style.
Well, it's similar. I mean,
similar.
The newer stuff we're doing is a little more folky.
Oh, I see that. So as far as the listeners goes, and what is your music theme? That's what associated. What I'm saying is like what your style.
It's our style.
Yeah.
It's kind of all over the board. I mean, we don't play metal and we don't play country, but everything is pretty much fair game. So if one of those happened to come up as a songwriting idea, we wouldn't reject it. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
exactly.
For the most part, I think our sound is kind of like a reggae blues. Folk type of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of all over the board. We've got some good grooves for jamming and dancing. We've got some, you know, conscious lyrics and you know,
right.
We get the party going, but at the same time we try to, it's not just about like, we're not like monkeys up there banging on things. We try to get a point
right.
across to people, you know, so.
Exactly. Like this Holy Man, you know, I really like this Holy Man, you know, that which I'm going to be playing that later on into the hour. Holy Man is, you know, from you guys, that's, you know, talk about Holy Man. Who wrote this song?
Well, that's kind of a funny question. I, as far as the, in the business, they call the songwriter gets the points. So I'm the one that actually gets the points for that one, but
okay.
I that song, like I woke up in the middle of the night and just grabbed my guitar and just wrote that song like stream of consciousness. So
oh man, that's awesome.
I'm not so sure that I can say that I wrote it then, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I used to
my name on
like
my name on the copyright, but I don't actually take credit for it. I wasn't
okay. Well,
I was just as amazed when it happened.
That's pretty good, because when I usually wake up in the middle of the night, either I'm going to the bathroom or, you know, I'm going to throw up something.
Yeah.
Sorry. I gave you kudos on that. But anyway, let's take a caller in here, 7639, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of weigh in on opinions. I heard that you guys were going to talk about some different news topics and things like that. Also, like, I just called in. What kind of sounds the Soapbox music in? What type of music is that?
Soapbox Project music is what's described as Wisconsin roots, roll, and soul. It's roots music, folk music, rock and roll, blues, reggae, jam. Good grooving stuff, you know? Stuff you can take
grooving.
Your shoes off and dig your toes in.
Okay. Do you travel around the United States to do your, or do you just do Wisconsin, or just where you're from, or?
Well,
like
the Soapbox Project is a new band formed from an old band. So the old band Hooch, we did tour all over the country with all the members. We have toured together, but the Soapbox Project is just a newer band that's just starting out, and we haven't taken any national tours on just yet. However, in November, I will be going down, hitting Nashville, Austin, and then I'm been booked to play a show in New Mexico for some Festival of the Soul,
okay.
which I'm pretty excited about. And through that, we'll probably tour up into Colorado and Dakotas and our way back to Wisconsin.
That's cool. Do you have kids?
I do.
Yeah,
do you take
I
them
can.
With you? Are you planning on taking them with you when you go on the road?
Well, I like to take my daughter with me as much as I can, and this is actually an ideal time of the year for us when she's out of school. It's
go
great.
Ahead.
I like to take them with, and she, you know, a lot of times I get opportunities where I find shows specific to the venue being susceptible to a good place and a good environment for my children so that they can get up and sing with me on stage or, you
oh,
know,
okay.
we try to do a lot of that as much as we can. It's sometimes it just works out that, you know, I play in places that aren't suitable, but,
right.
you know, whatever
yeah.
the opportunity is possible for me to take them with and bring them along and get them up on stage with me and stuff, we take it, you know.
That's good that you educate your kids like that. They probably do. Like, it's nice to go on road trips too. My husband and I homeschool, and I stay home
great.
With the kids, and we like to travel too. So, and the kids love to go, you know, different places, and I like to go to, you know, it's educational, and you're teaching them how to sing, so that's definitely good, you know.
The art appreciation in itself is a wonderful thing, and it's the social aspects of it are really amazing too, because, you know, I meet a lot of people, a lot of really good people, and I give them the opportunity, you know, to, I don't put them out in front of people. I'm protective, but at the same time, I don't want to shelter them too much. You know what I mean? I want them to be able to experience, because I don't think it's healthy to, you know, breed fear.
Exactly.
So I try to show them that there's a lot of good out there, and they find that out on their own, you know, just by meeting people. And other people that bring kids to some of these shows is great, too. They get to experience, you know, what's going on. It's amazing, because my daughter just recently came to the realization that not everybody's parents do what we do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she just kind of took it for granted for several years, and, like, last summer she was just like, so where do you guys go? And they're like, we don't go anywhere. And they're like, you know, so it's kind of, you know, now she's got a little bit of pride about it, and I try to make sure that I tell her, I'm like, you know, don't ever act arrogant or proud. You know, we're very lucky that we get to do this, and just be thankful that, you know, this is an opportunity that we have that we're able to take advantage of right now. It could go away just like that. So, you know, never brag or get too excited. You just try to share what you can with people and go from there.
Right. Any, you want to share any, like, maybe, I'm sorry, caller, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, if you're looking to go big or something like that, I'm an independent distributor with a company called Mark in America, and they just started something new this year where you can go to my website, shopinsuperhighway.com, find out more. But they started kind of promoting people that want to become famous, like artists, you know, musical artists, and they have, like, where they can present that music to, like, hundreds of thousands of people and even millions of people, because we have a lot of customer bases, you know. So if you want to, like,
yeah.
if that's something you're looking into, you know, just give us, like, you can contact us. We have contact us button at the bottom of the page, you know, and stuff like that.
Okay.
But that's, and then that was just what my questions were. But, I mean, do you want to go big or?
Well, it's kind of a fine line, you know. We had some pretty decent success with Hooch, and through that I learned a lot of really valuable things. And one thing that I learned was that it's easy to get carried away when people are, you know, patting you on the back and telling you, you know, everybody wants something from you, and they'd look at you as a dollar sign to them. So, I mean, in a way, I love what we've been doing now, which is taking a real grassroots approach to it and playing places we know with people we know. And, you know, like I said, having opportunities, too, to get out of the bar scene and playing at clubs and real venues where people are actually there to hear the music and not to shoot pool or darts or, and not that I have any problem with that, but it just, it's nice to know that people are there for the music and not there and you just happen to be playing in their way, you know,
exactly,
kind of thing.
Exactly.
So that's one reason why you want to get out of bars and you want some, you know, level of success, because then, you know, you can go to clubs and venues and get people to pay the money for the tickets. But you don't, I would hate to get to the point, you know, where you have paparazzi or, you get your cheeseburger without mustard or something, and some next thing you know, it's in a story that you were deathly allergic to mustard, and then you're getting sued from the mustard company for saying that mustard will kill you, and, you know, it's really ridiculous and out of control. I think the thought of fame and all that would be just terrible, but I definitely would like to continue making a living doing music. You know,
that's good.
I mean, we haven't put together any retirement plan, and it's a really hard process. It's a hard job, but I work consistently on you know, getting the word out, writing good music, and getting out, meeting people, hanging out with the fans, and you know, building. I mean, I've met a lot of people that I'm really good friends with now that I've met just from talking with them when I signed their CD years ago or something. You know, and
that's
now we
good.
Actually go out together when we're in town and stuff. So.
That's a good thing to do, you know, be, like, in touch with the people instead of being, like, you know, high up there, like where you don't, I mean, money is not like the root of evil, but the love of money is the root of evil, you know?
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
So that's one of my questions and stuff. I think like the host is going to talk about, what is you guys, I'll try to stay online. I have like dog and that likes to bark a lot. But I'll try to stay on if I can.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for the questions in there. Now Derek. Yeah, I want to talk about more about the you know, the your bands, the Soapbox project. Any memorable night that you can share with us? Like, you know, throughout, you know, maybe you met Elvis or something.
Well, I did sense his presence in my cheeseburger not too long ago, but I don't know what that was all about. I think. For me, I've had a lot of really, really amazing experiences through touring with Hooch. A lot of the first times things happened was, like, amazing. And the more things, certain gigs and certain appearances happen, you don't you lose the excitement about them. But you always remember the first ones, you know. And, like, I remember the first year we played at 10,000 Lakes Festival. We had also just won this contest, and we ended up getting in playing at Summerfest in Milwaukee, and we found out both of these things. We got booked for 10,000 Lakes by winning an online voting contest.
Oh, really?
A national contest, which is, you know, just a great honor for us. And we found out the same night that both of these huge festivals in the Midwest we were booked at, so we were jacked about that. And I remember kind of being... This is right when, like, Maroon 5 broke, and I remember at 10,000 Lakes Festival... going backstage right after we had set up our camp and stuff, and I was sitting down. They have a mess tent in the back where everyone gets their food and stuff, and you know, they have catering going on. And anyways, I sat down, and the lead singer and the guitar player from Maroon 5 came and sat down at the table, like, on both sides of me. And my sister was a huge fan of theirs. I thought they were great too. I still do, you know, but I mean, she was fanatic. And
Yeah,
I had that real surreal moment where I kind of had that debate in my head: do I call my sister and put them on the phone, or do I just not be that dude, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
But I was like totally cool on the outside and kind of freaking out inside, and
right.
You know, it kind of became real that we're all eating the same pulled pork. You know what I mean? Like, we're all
sharing a table, sharing here.
And I'm, like, standing another time leaning against the fence, and, like, Trey Anastasio is standing there, and he's clipping his fingernails, like, just like nobody's business, you know, just standing there. And I idolized this guy, so it was really, you know, there's moments like that that are just unbelievable. I mean, the best, though, I mean, of all is just hanging out and meeting people. I mean, it doesn't matter to me if we play, you know, to 2,000 people and don't meet anybody. I would rather play to 5 people and hang out with even 1 or 2 of those people, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That's just a lot cooler to me, to make those personal connections and to write songs that aren't about, like, going out and getting wasted and blah, 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 and to, like, come up with stuff that actually speaks to somebody, and, you know, that's the best part.
Conversation, yeah, get to know people. Yeah, I hear you. Now, I know you, you know, you've been to Hooties a lot, correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, I just played there recently.
Yeah,
for a friend of mine's birthday party, actually, real good friend of mine. And then prior to that, though, I haven't been out there for years. I played there with Hooch a few times several years back, but I moved out of the Baraboo area. I grew up in Baraboo, and then I moved away. I lived in New Mexico for a while. I lived in La Crosse for several years, where Hooch was mainly based out of, and then I lived in Madison for a couple years. I just recently moved back to Baraboo, just, you know.
Right. You mentioned something about the Showboat down in downtown Dallas there. Have you ever been there? Have you ever performed there?
Oh yeah, I had a house gig there. I played there every single Tuesday for every Tuesday afternoon for quite a while, a couple summers back, with my friend Kenny Leiser, who's in a band called Lucas Cates Band out of Madison. Great violin player, great guitar player. I played there also with Hooch several times. I played there many times solo. I actually played during Jesse and Trisha, the owners, in their wedding. I played during their ceremony. So that's kind of interesting. I'd played there a couple times with my band, and they had asked me if I would do their wedding, and I did. And then a couple of years later, after I moved to Madison, they booked me to do my weeklies there.
All right.
I also was, my band Hooch was also a house band at Marley's for a couple of years.
Right, yeah, because that's, I remember that thing. Also the, I don't know if you're probably a swing crew.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Time, like back in, way back in the day.
Yeah.
Swing crew. I think they're still together, aren't they?
Yeah, they still play at the boat and Show Mamas or whatever all the time. I see them all over the place.
Yeah, that's when I stopped going to bars and stuff, you know. That's when I stopped. But anyway, we're going to take a break real quick, play one of your songs called Holy Man. And then when we, if you can stick around, if you want to hang out, and we'll talk about some odd news and stuff, you know,
sure.
If you're getting nowhere to go. And, you know, again, we have Derek Ramnerace. Am I pronouncing that last name right, Ramnerace?
You're actually better than most people. It's Ramnerace.
Okay.
It's actually
right.
It's Eastern Indian. It's Ramnaresh, but an Americanized
yeah.
Ramnaresh.
Okay. That's what I'm thinking. I was like, wow, that's just like my last name, Poniente. You know, a lot of people, it's like 99.9% of people would say, you mean Poniente? They're like, no. You know, but I don't blame them. But anyway, hang out with us if you guys have a question with the for Derek. 347-884-8125. You're hanging out with Fernando Poniente and Fernando Poniente Show. Again, this is the Soapbox Project called The Holy Man. Hang out. Thank you. That's a Holy Man from Soapbox Project. You are in the Fernando Poniente show, just hanging out here with Derek Romderes of the Soapbox Project. Actually, just to remind you, just go ahead and you can call in 347-884-8125 if you have any questions or anything like that. We're talking about LaRue Station's Summerfest coming up Friday, July 3rd. There's 12 acts and two stages and one unforgettable night. So if you're looking for a grassroots music scene in Wisconsin, that's the best place to go. Let's pick up Derek on this one. Derek, you there still?
Yeah. How's it going, man?
All right. Pretty good. Now, we're going to be talking about, we have like maybe 10 minutes into the hour, and what I want to touch up is the recent death of Billy Mays. You know Billy Mays?
Not personally, but, you know, he's been in my... been in my living room every single night up past midnight, so.
Right, exactly, the OxiClean, the kaboom. You know, we've for the last couple of weeks or couple of days, there's that, I would say celebrity. Billy Mays, I consider Billy Mays a celebrity, you know.
He is, by the terminology, he is a celebrity.
Yeah.
He is known throughout.
So. You can say Farrah Fawcett, Michael Jackson and all that. Now Bill and Mays.
Ed McMahon.
Yep. That's correct. Now, with all this death celebrities, Derek, what do you say to this, man? What's going on?
Well, I try to subscribe too heavily to the 2012 philosophy. So, I think, and that's the thing, maybe that's what it is, Ed's not as shocking or whatever because he was, he led a long, fruitful life, but not as tragic as, say, Michael Jackson or Billy Mays, even Farrah, kind of tragic sudden circumstances and stuff, but I don't know, I think it's just the way it goes,
Yeah.
Everybody gets the chance to live their life, and those... As much as people can say how sad it is and, that they've passed, I kind of always keep this mentality myself that when, you make the best of your life that you had, and they led a good life. It'd be worse if they had been, homeless for 30 years and, never did
right.
get any sort of good out of their life, and then they died in a tragic way. Then there's nothing good that could possibly come from that. But I think, they had good lives. They got to do a lot of things. And
amazing
and
things,
as
like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, what can you say?
Yeah,
the guy's the biggest star in the world.
Yeah. I have a Facebook and MySpace account, and then, they talked about, so many deaths this month. There's a lot of, it's too sad to even go outside and turn TV on. I'm like, well, do you ever read the newspaper? Because it's like, I'm pretty sure that, the local people that dies every day, it's on that paper, The reason why you see it, a lot of these celebrities be on that is because of the media, you know. Mays, you know, Far Fawcett and all that, because it's all in the media. They, you know, Fox News and CNN is all, that's a media base, you know, that they tell people, like, hey, another celebrity died, you know.
It's really something when you see, when you see something like the way, with Michael Jackson a few years back in his trial and everything that was going on, and he had these, some of these people were like, oh, you know, this guy's a demon and he's a monster and this and that. And now the very same anchors, these pundits, these talking heads on TV are just like, he was the voice of a generation and da-da-da-da-da, and they're all...
Exactly.
They got their heads way up there and...
Right, call them kings and stuff like that. All right,
yeah.
Okay, we got a couple. Let's pick up callers over here. It's 2622. If you want to... Come on in, 2622, go ahead.
How you doing, Fernando?
Pretty good, man. Who is this?
This is Don P himself from the website Snapvine. I just wanted to show some love on your website.
All right, Don P himself.
Yeah.
What's going on? We have Derek from the Soapbox Projects, one of the locally banned here in Wisconsin.
Okay. Tell him a hi. Can you tell him a hi for me?
Well, he's on the line.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm fine. I'm just new to this whole thing because I promised my buddy that I wanted to call him one day and, you know, just say hi to him because I'm really new to this. I don't really know what's going on because, like, I just called him just now, so I missed a whole lot of stuff right now, though. But, yeah.
Don't worry about it, man.
Huh?
Don't worry about it. We still got plenty of time, man. You and I are going to be, you know, we're still going to set up some time and, you know, you can come in and you know, and do the show or
okay.
You and I do the show. So,
okay.
You know, hang tight.
Okay, one more thing. Do you ever talk about sports? Do you ever talk about sports?
Sports, absolutely. Yeah. We talked about sports.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. That's one other thing over here. And also looking for you know, a person that's going to be doing the sports sections on my show. So, you know,
okay.
if you're open to that, I'm more than welcome
oh, yeah.
to have you on
no
board.
Problem.
Now, I don't know if you have a you have Skype or what do you use? Are you calling from home?
Yeah, I'm calling from home. I got a cell phone a little bit. I basically got my house on right now. I seen that it was only like 9 minutes left. So I heard and dialed before the show was over. That's basically it, though. Yeah, I just want to show some love. That's all.
All right, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, no problem. Keep in touch, okay?
All right, man. Where are you calling from? Where again?
Well, right now I'm calling from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, okay. Sounds
yeah,
good, man.
Yeah.
Say hi to everyone
okay,
over
the Eagles.
There.
The Eagles.
All right.
Talk to you, Fernando.
Talk
to you, okay?
Talk to you later. All right.
All right.
That was Don P. himself. Met him from one of the Snapvine.com. You ever use Snapvine, Derek?
I don't.
Snapvine, oh, man. That's the best place to go if you want to network with like producers, you know, managers and musicians alike. You know, that's the best place to go. Just like Reverb Nation. You ever heard of Reverb Nation?
Yeah, I have.
All right.
I'll make sure I check this stuff out. We like I said, we're just kind of starting up and rebuilding and making sure we get our game plan all figured out and know what we want to do, and then we'll make the push for management and you know, all that stuff.
Geez. Right, if you're looking for a social media marketer, you're talking to one of them.
Yeah,
the social media consultant.
We should definitely sit down and talk about that because you know, we're on like all of the. We just started a Twitter site and like we have like MySpace and Facebook and all that. But for me, really, it's I grudgingly accept technology. I have to. You know,
right.
But. We have a love-hate relationship all across the board.
Yeah, if you want to survive, man, you got, you know, there's like a lot of people, a lot of old pops, you know, old mom and pops restaurants and all that, you know, that, you know, they're so reluctant when it comes to like website technology, you know, that we don't need them, you know.
Yeah.
If you want your business to survive, you do need a website. You know, that's what I tell
them. There's no getting around it. You have to, you know.
Yeah.
You have to embrace technology.
Yeah, exactly.
The state of the record industry right now, too, like, you don't have to sell your soul anymore to get music out there. You can do it yourself, you know what I mean? And it's a great medium. It's an amazing, amazing tool, but it's just so much that someone else to handle it sounds great.
Exactly. Now let's get on a different topic over here. I know I've been reading weird news lately, and this one is from actually Sweden. Listen to this. Parents won't say if toddlers is a boy or girl, because apparently Swedish couples, they have this decision not to tell everyone, not to tell public, and to keep that secret, the gender of the child. See, it is a 2.5-year-old, but so far, and only those who change the child's diapers know whether the youngster is a boy or girl. So in English, so this is my question: is it, what's your take on this, Derek? And I'm going to ask the other caller too that just called. What's your take on what the parents are doing? Is it an interesting experiment, or is it a terrible idea, or is it, or you have mixed feelings about that?
I guess I don't understand why. What is the experiment exactly? What are they trying to accomplish?
That's what they're trying to accomplish. This right here. They said it's a cruel thing, you know, to bring out the child into the world with the blue or pink stamp on their forehead, you know, meaning like a male
right.
or female, you know. So we want this child to grow up more freely
green,
and avoid
green or
being
yellow.
Forced. Correct. Being forced into a specific gender, what they call a specific gender mold from the outset. You know what I mean? It's like they don't want. I don't understand what the you know they have to. Do you remember that movie or not? Was it a movie? It's like a Saturday Night Live skit, like It's Pat back
yeah.
in the day.
Time for androgyny. Pat
yeah.
and Chris. Yeah.
Exactly. So, what do you think the child's going to grow up to be? I mean, confused?
I think, yeah. I mean, maybe confused, or maybe, I mean, if you go with genetic history, maybe the kid will just take this whacked out experiment as every bit of the norm. You know, I don't, you know.
Right, exactly.
It's really hard to say.
7639, what's your take on this? 7639, 408, 7639, what's your take on this?
I think that it's unbiblical. I think that, I mean, let's just teach your kid what, you know. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily unbiblical for that, but I think that just saying that you don't want them to be stamped with a blue or a pink, you don't want people to think of them in a certain way. I mean, well, God already created them the way he created them. They can't change that. I mean, well, now they try to change that nowadays. But I think that's really really tricky, because if you're a boy and you turn yourself to a girl, does God really see you as a boy, like he created
right.
you, or does
exactly.
he see you like a girl?
The thing is, right, yeah. right. The thing is, I don't think they see anything that's, you know, that they can, apparently the parents' mind it all screwed up. That's what I think, you know. I mean, that's, they
I just,
need to, yeah, go ahead.
At what point will they be ending this experiment? I mean, they're going to be forced to. It's just going to be obvious at some point to people what's going on, and then they're going to be like, why didn't you tell us? Why, you know, what was, you know? I just don't understand people sometimes.
I don't either.
You can't keep something like that hidden. And if they go to the lengths to hide the
mm-hmm.
child's identity when it gets older, then that's just messing with the kid more. I mean, that's even...
Exactly.
That's worse than what nature would do, you know what I mean? Society's standard.
What if he goes to, like, public restroom or bathroom, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
there's no, like, there's one in boys and girls, whatever. Still, you know.
Right,
the
unisex.
Yeah. What is he going to go around the corner and do it there?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
just
understand.
Hold it.
yeah, just hold it. Now, we have about 30 seconds into the hour. Thank you again for listening. Thanks for stopping by, Derek. And, you know, we'll check out, listeners, if you guys, you can check out Derek Ramnerais. You can go to myspace.com/Derek Ramnerais, or you can go to the soapboxproject.com. And you'll see the LaRue Station Summerfest, upcoming Summerfest here in Wisconsin on Friday, July 3rd. Tickets for sale on there and everything. So, again, Derek, thank you for stopping by. Thank you, guests, for calling in. And, again, no problem. We'll have you up now. You know, you can stop by anytime, Derek, anytime. Also, July 3rd, on Friday, we will have Nate Mathis. Nate Mathis will be here on July 3rd, 9 p.m., the real estate expert. So, we'll see ya. See you later. This is Fernando Poniente on Fernando Poniente Show. Hasta la vista, baby.
Peace.